This is Angela Ewing with KCIW, Curry Coast, Community Radio, Storytime. Hairbrained. The young lady in the New York beauty salon smiled. Yes, we're almost finished. Your hair will be just fine. This permanent wave is designed for thin, fine, and bleached hair. It's very gentle. You are sure? I asked. Oh, please be sure. Oh, yes, we've done lots of over-bleached hair with this particular perm, and the results have been really good, really, really good. I relaxed, eyes closed, visualizing my reflection in the mirror. Tight curls, spirals of golden hair, shiny and bouncy. I just had to wash it and fluff it up to dry. I leaned back and the beautician told me she was going to rinse the hair for a couple of minutes. I'll try not to get water down your neck, she said as she tightened the plastic cape around me. A few minutes later, I heard a sound that filled me with dread. Oh my goodness. Oh my. What is it? I said, alarmed at the tone of her voice. Oh dear, I need to talk to the manager, the girl said, hurrying away. I lay back, dripping into the bowl. My neck was beginning to ache. Still dripping, I twisted around to glimpse the rollers in the sink, my hair still wrapped neatly around each one. I reached up, touched my head and screamed. All I could feel was soft, squishy hair in tufts. It seemed some of it was only an inch long. My God, I'm bald, I screamed. The manager hurried over and immediately cupped her hands to her open mouth. Then she said smoothly, Madam should not have had a permanent. The hair is in very poor condition. No kidding, I yelled, staring into the mirror. I'll have to wear a wig. I've got a date tomorrow. How can I go out like this? Well, we can tidy it up a bit, said the manager. You know, short hair is really in. Not on me, it's not, I sobbed. Not on me. I look hideous in short hair. There's no doubt about it. I'll have to wear a wig. Then I added, I'll sue you. That's what I'll do. You've ruined my hair. I broke out in a new wave of sobs. Oh, God, what will I do? The manager was silent for a moment, deep in thought. Tell you what, she said. We'll pay for 3 wigs. That should do until your hair grows in again. Really? I sniffed. Yes. Yes, I guess we can do that. When I left the beauty parlour, I had 2 wigs in a bag, one wash and wear with tight spirals of golden hair, shiny and bouncy. The other was the same colour blonde, but fashioned into a braid and swept up on top. Perfect for evening wear, the manager said. I left the salon with soft curls around my face, my own thin, sparse hair of all lengths, from 1 to 3 inches, had been twisted into pin curls, secured with bobby pins, and then the wig was anchored to the curls. As I left the beauty salon, I felt as though all eyes were upon me. It seemed that everyone stared as they passed. Did everyone guess? I wondered. I stared intently at my reflection in a store window. Actually, it didn't look that bad, I decided. And when a good-looking young man smiled as he passed, I did feel much better. David, my blind date, turned out to be a dream. Blind dates were always risky. I'd had quite a few. Some had turned out to be real horror stories. But David was tall, dark and handsome, and what was even better, he picked me up in his new Porsche. I was wearing a short black dress that clung to my, what I'd been told, was an hourglass figure. I'd fixed the braided wig firmly on the pin curls as the beautician had showed me. David took me to a very, very best Italian restaurant in town with a postage-sized dance floor in the middle. I leaned back in my chair, content that I looked great. My thoughts were confirmed when David leaned forward and whispered, You really are beautiful and I love your hair. Do you always wear it up? For a moment, I hesitated. No, not always. I usually wear it, well, you know, kind of loose. David smiled and looked into my eyes. Like to dance? He asked. We stood close on the crowded floor, swaying with the music. Then the pace quickened and he whirled me around. I leaned back dramatically and suddenly, to my horror, I discovered I was hooked to the button of a man's jacket. I put my hand up to my head and pulled gently. For a moment, I felt warm air on my scalp, and I knew the wig would come off really easily. I pulled again, hanging tightly onto David as the other man twirled his partner around. I had no choice but to yell out, "Stop! I'm hooked!" I breathed a sigh of relief as I pulled my hair free. Now, with caution, I moved through the jostling crowd, staying very close to David, thankful when the dance ended. I studied his face as we sat down, wondering if he'd noticed that my hair had disappeared from my scalp for a moment. He smiled at me. "Say, you look as though you could do with another glass of wine. You're a bit pale." "Thank you," I said. I'd really like another." By the time we left the restaurant, my old confidence had returned. When we arrived at my apartment, he kissed me. "Can I come up to your place?" he asked. I leaned against him. He was so handsome and smelled so good. How could I say no? Already I could imagine his arms around me, feel his muscled chest against my skin, and his hand stroking my hair. My hair! Oh, no, no, I'd forgotten. "No," I said, "sorry, I can't ask you in tonight." I got out of the car and ran up the steps. Then I stopped. Oh, hell, why not invite him in just for a few minutes? It wasn't long before we were snuggled up in bed. In the ecstasy of the moments that followed, I forgot all about my hair. Dreamily, I sat up, and then I noticed David's face. In the horrible moment, I realized my hair was left behind on the pillow. This was supposed to be a romantic moment, and I was horror-struck. David stared at me, then at the wig. The corners of his mouth began to twitch. He rolled away in total silence, and then he drew in a deep breath, totally convulsed with laughter. For a moment, I had visioned of him passing out on the floor. He didn't have time to take a breath. There was nothing I could do about it now. The truth was out. I slipped out of bed, grabbing the wig as I slunk into the bathroom and locked the door. "Go away!" I shouted. I heard David trying not to laugh, but it was too much. When I peeked out of the door, he was sitting on the floor, leaning against the bed, tears streaming down his face. I didn't come out of the bathroom until I heard the door close behind him. Even then, I swore I could hear his laugh as he went down the stairs. I vowed and declared I would never date again until my hair was grown out. But I did have to work, and that was the problem. I was employed by a temporary office agency at the time and worked in different offices each week. I had come to America from England with a diploma from the Pittman Secretary's School and was pretty slick at shorthand and typing. At this law firm, they wanted a receptionist. It was my duty to answer all incoming calls. However, answering the telephone became a problem because I couldn't hear very well unless I moved my thick, luxuriant curls from my ear. All went well until one morning when the big boss himself walked into the office. The phone rang just when he came through the door. In my eagerness to do a good job and answer the phone quickly, I pushed the wig a little bit too exuberantly from my ear, and it slipped all the way off my head, landing on the back of the chair. I caught a glimpse of the man's face as I turned to rescue my hairpiece. I cannot begin to describe his expression, but I fled the scene in embarrassment again. The next day, the agency called me and told me that the company had expressed a desire to hire me permanently. According to the report I read later, I added a little color to the establishment. It took almost a year for my hair to grow to a respectable length for a decent perm, but you know, I used to be one of those girls who firmly believed that blondes had more fun. I bleached my hair all the time, and it was easy if I took it to a salon to take care of, my hair I mean, but I thought I could do it myself. Clairol boasted about their products, which never failed with the exact timing. I was obviously in a hurry when I attempted this operation, and my hair turned out to be 3 shades of yellow from the roots to the end. But perfection was in sight. I found a colorant labeled ash brown that promised to remove all yellow tones from one's hair. Alas, when I looked in the mirror, My hair had turned green. I'd love to tell you that story, but it really is a load of codswallop. I guess I'm just harebrained.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. You can help support KCIW by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign to help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.